Yo, you listening to the Oprah Rose Show with TT and Gigi, and yeah, get it poppin'.
Thoughts. Everything begins with thoughts.
She's a slut, she's a hoe, she's this, she's that.
We say to girls, you can have ambition, but not too much.
It's about people being uncomfortable with women owning their sexuality.
What is the truest, highest vision that you hold for yourself?
I'm a real ass bitch, and I'm gonna get everything that I'm gonna get on my own.
I know for sure. You don't get what you wish for. You get what you believe.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
What's up? What's up?
I'm TT.
I'm Gigi.
And I'm Dee Dee.
And this is episode 192 of the Oprah Rose Show. You know, we had obviously a very explosive week with all of the mess brought to you by your local messperts of all of the Real Housewives of Atlanta drama. You know, God only knows what will be next and what will come out on the special. But,
like, but we'll keep you posted on our Patreon.
So real time.
Mm-hmm. In real time, there will be updates, like you said, on the Patreon for all of the mess. What else, y'all? I mean, I feel like real quick, like, what is the check-in with y'all? How have y'all been?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, we don't really ask anymore.
Like, how's everybody doing?
Yeah, like, what is the check-in? What is the temperature? What's it giving?
You know, when this episode comes out, I would have just been coming back from Nashville. So I'm going to Nashville for the first time. To direct a music video. So this
amazing.
Is a, this
so
a big deal, y'all. And it's funny, I actually
can
said
you,
this
can
on
you
the
tell
show.
Us who?
So it's for my sister. She's an artist, a country singer. Her name's Brittany Spencer. It's her first music video. And so I just like wrote up the treatment. I worked with this production company in Nashville and they like loved the treatment. And so
amazing
experience. But
you
like,
did you claim that
I
you
claimed,
put that
like,
you manifested
I said it on the show
you definitely yeah. manifested it. Did you tell the show that Brittany Spencer was your sister though?
I don't think so. And it's funny
this
because
is why we have to have that show where me and TT just solely interview you.
Well, I didn't know that. And I've known this nigga since we were 16. And right. I did not know that. I didn't even know. I was like, what? That's your sister? What? So yeah.
And so it's funny too, because she's gotten a lot of accolades recently too. And so when my job found out that we were related, they were like, whoa, like we were doing all these things with her. We had no idea.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So even that's like crazy and amazing. So
you're directing. Amazing. Wow. Well, congrats.
Thank you.
Can't wait to see it.
Amazing.
What's going on with you, Gene?
Shit. I wish my life was a little bit more eventful, but just raising my kid.
So what vacations are coming up? You know, summer's coming.
I actually don't have any vacations planned at the moment.
Well, we got one coming for you in August. You just wait.
See, I have to put a pin in that because I'm being in a wedding.
See, now she says she ain't got nothing going on. Now you see how that happened?
No, but I have to leave that open because I am going to be a maid of honor in a wedding. And so I'm waiting to find out when that block of time is going to be. But it's pinned for August.
I'm actually counting y'all out. I know it's not gonna happen, sadly, but figure it out. Yeah, I'm UG. There's literally nothing. I'm just here, child. Trying to lose some weight. The same shit I've been doing for the past 16 months is trying to lose some LBs. That's it. And I don't have my glass of wine, so it's not even helping. We've been highlighting, you know, last week we obviously had Brie from Spike Spin, and so we're super excited now to have the fellas from Down North Pizza. This is in West Philly, correct?
No, it's in North Philly.
North Philly. See, I got my Cardinals. See, I was gonna say, you know, I'm from Baltimore, so you know, we only got East and West. So now I'm fucking it up. I'm fucking up the Cardinal directions.
Yeah,
and
North, N-O-R-F, North Philly.
Exactly.
N-O-R-F.
It must be with an F. Yeah. This is the most, like, if y'all, I posted it on my Instagram and people from New York were like, how is it? And I was like, it dead ass is worth the trip. It's worth a drive, a day trip. For pizza, like, and this is, you know, New York is obviously allegedly the pizza capital.
Allegedly,
but I'm telling you, deadass was the best pizza or box of pizza that I have had.
North Philly is the new capital of pizza.
It's really North Philly is the capital of pizza now.
Y'all said it.
Right. No, I'm saying it. We claiming that, like you said, North N-O-R-F Philly. So
taking a stand.
Take the stamp. So welcome Mike, who is the executive chef, and Muhammad, who is the owner and CEO. Thank y'all.
Thanks for having us.
Sound bites. So you know.
Of course. I'm on y'all IG right now, just like scrolling, like
salivating.
Why can I eat this pizza right now? Y'all, if y'all go to their IG, they have a bean pie ice cream sandwich. I never heard of this black shit before, but I need it right now.
We gonna be real black for you. You hear me all the time.
Need. So, and not only that though, like, you know, it's not just pizza. There's obviously a mission behind what you guys are doing, which I think is amazing. So, you know, get into, you know, how you guys started that and you know, what, you know, y'all are literally putting your money where your mouth is with the community. So get into that.
No, for sure. That's why we call it the people's pizza, because that's what it's about. That's what we're here for. But the idea and concept, it took a couple years in the making. Probably around 2018, that I purchased the building. I didn't know what I wanted to do with it initially, but I knew I wanted to do something to serve the community, because when I look around and I see what was going on in the community and how underprivileged the community was, and how there was, you know, nobody investing in that community, I knew that, you know, we needed to change that narrative and change, you know, something that was going on within that community. So I thought long and I thought hard, and I'm like, yeah, we probably could put a restaurant here, because it's also a food desert. Nothing around there to eat. You got the Chinese store and that's about it. No markets or anything. So with that being said, you know, I want to do something more than just any ordinary restaurant. So how can a restaurant benefit a community of people? So knowing that our community, you know, suffered and is plagued with the issues of mass incarceration, and it's been for some time now, I thought, how about we just, you know, start a restaurant that exclusively hires like formerly incarcerated people. And with that being said, you know, Kurt, you know, a good friend of mine, he was also doing some work as well within the community, hosting dinners to have conversations about reimagining the world without mass incarceration and without carceral systems in general. And I attended one of his dinners and was intrigued by what was going on. And, you know, I presented what I had going on to him, and that you got down north.
That's amazing. Yeah. Did you have to partner or speak to, you know, correction officers or probation officers or those people who kind of like manage formerly incarcerated individuals so that they were aware that this was a resource that they could utilize as far as jobs are concerned?
We were connected with a lot of programs in Philly that kind of filtered out what was going on. So they had an opportunity of knowing, and, you know, we got a great response from everybody, because, you know, ideally, if they have people on their caseloads, i.e. the parole officers, probation officers, it makes their job a little easier, knowing that they're actually doing something positive. So, you know, they were, you know, all on board with what we had going on, and the response from the community and the city has just been overwhelming, to say the least.
Yeah. So how did you guys land even on pizza? Like, how did the two of you connect even? Because like you said, it's definitely a food desert, which is plagued by like so many inner cities. We were talking about West Baltimore before we started, and I was there last week, and I had to go 20 minutes away, like just to get a sandwich. Like, and I mean, literally just a sandwich. There was nothing. And the same thing, I was like, damn, there's not even a supermarket. Like, it's nothing around here. Or like Murray's, which don't even sell produce when you really think about it. I don't know if y'all got Murray's.
We got Murray's.
Yeah, okay, y'all got Murray's. Okay, exactly. I didn't know if Murray's was
it's
only
just frozen food. That's it.
It's just and it's only Murray's brand. It's not even like Trader Joe's shit. But
well, I ain't gonna lie, but those chicken nuggets though is legendary.
So are the French toast sticks. Grew up on them. And the little cheese sticks, though. And the little steakums and French toast.
Wow.
Yeah. I like grew up on them. Now, trust me, I went to Murray's, though. Don't get it twisted. But as an adult, I bet you didn't want no damn Murray's the other day.
No, what the pizza idea was like, you know, what is a food item that everybody loves that we can actually get people open to having these conversations that we want them to have, which is about, you know, ending mass incarceration and looking into some of these systems and actually looking to how we can abolish and rebuild them and reimagine them in a different way. Because the way they set up, the way they've been set up, they're working exactly how they was designed to work. So they're not broken, you know, because the way they design them, this is how they're supposed to work. You know, the prison, the carceral system is the third largest employer in the United States. So, you know, and 650,000 people are released from prison every year. So there has to be something to get some type of retention from the people that are exiting the third largest employer. How are we going to get them back in? So this is why you have the probation and parole systems in place, because that's a way to, it's a trap to keep them, keep filtering in the system. So it's like, we have to figure out a way to kind of combat that. So if we can have an item that everybody loves, that we can, you know, have people talking about, and then we can kind of, you know, have the overarching conversation about, listen, you know, how can we, you know, fix what's broken? So this is why we chose pizza.
I love that. Yeah, that's amazing.
And how did you partner up with the with Mike, the executive chef?
So Mike can tell you, you know, more about the that part. Let Mike.
All right. The other co-founder, Chef Kurt, I actually met him at a taco stand in like 2013. I had just came home. And I like to eat how he liked to eat. And we just met at a taco stand in our neighborhood. And we kept in contact. And he actually brought me along to a couple of restaurants that he had headed up. And when he needed an executive chef that fit the criteria, he just pulled me through. And it's like, I've been rocking and rolling ever since.
Nice. I
love that.
How'd you get your start with food? Like, what made you like fall in love with food and becoming a chef?
My start with food goes all the way back to my roots. We gonna talk about my family, like I was telling y'all before, like I have family in West Baltimore. But when my family left the South on my mother's side, they went to New Haven, Connecticut, Philadelphia, Norfolk, Virginia, and Baltimore. So our family reunion every year is in one of those cities. So being part of the family reunion, you always was cooking. Like, it's not just the women that cook in my family, it's the men. Like, we got a coveted barbecue sauce recipe. My family had a barbecue sauce had a barbecue restaurant on 52nd and Spruce back in the day. And so, like, that was always with me. And on my father's side, they always had family dinners. So cooking was always something. I grew up in my grandma's skirt, always under her in the stove. So it was like, there was always something that presented a career for me. I always saw myself cooking.
That's dope. So I have a random question, and this is more so about pizza. Is it true that niggas don't like pineapples on pizza?
What you mean? our best pieces
really is
called the flip side. And
like it's like an argument. Like, people be really going back and forth. It's like 50-50 between if people like pineapples or not.
I made a believer out of a photographer for Philadelphia Magazine. He's a food photographer, and he said he doesn't like pineapples on his pizza, but we caramelize our pineapple. So we cook it in, we bring the sugars out, we take that tartness out of it. You know, a lot of times it's that little tartness that get people.
Yeah, because I'm not a fan of pineapples on pizza.
Guaranteed you, we could bet the house on it. You taste our flip side, you coming back for more, because we got barbecue beef bacon. A lot of people never even had beef bacon before.
Yeah, but I'm like,
No pork on our fork. We don't do none of that. You know what I mean? So like barbecue beef bacon, caramelized pineapples, pickled jalapenos, and a barbecue sauce drizzle. And it's a winner every time.
Wow. I'm starving. Like that, like, my God.
I mean, even down to the name though, like, shout out to Flipside. Like,
yeah.
I mean, y'all got Freeway eating that pizza too?
He coming though.
Right.
Like, listen, people ain't gonna be able to deny the role that we having on this Philadelphia culture right now, and they gonna have to pop out and see what we doing. Like, we didn't have Tierra Whack pop out, Come nice. See me. My name a pizza, but my new pizza is Tales of a Hustler. I got a barbecue beef brisket pizza popping out tomorrow. Barbecue beef brisket, harissa beer cheese, pickles, Haitian pickles.
I don't even know what that is.
I'm so uncultured.
And this is a beautiful thing about pizza, right? A pizza is so basic, but it's nostalgic. You know what I mean? Because we all, as kids, when we ordered out, like when your mom or your dad say, look, it's Friday, I ain't cooking shit.
You're eating pizza.
But pizza allows me to still do some chefy shit and introduce my community to different things that, like, when I was cooking downtown, people in my neighborhood don't know nothing about certain, like, they don't know nothing about harissa. You know what I mean? They don't know nothing about the pickles. You know what I mean? Unless you was Haitian. But it's a pickles, like, if you ever been to any, like, West Indian function when they do, like, the fried fish or whatever, and that, that condiment that they put on top.
Oh, that's on top. Yes.
Like, Eskimo.
You dig me? And I got that on top of a brisket pizza with harissa beer cheese. You know what I mean? And I'm garnishing it with thyme. So, like, I'm opening up a conversation for my community to taste different flavors that they may not have had or they may have had before, but they didn't know what they were.
That way, because the ingredients are definitely like top tier and stuff that.
So
like,
now, when you go out to that restaurant, So now, when you go out to that restaurant, you're like, "Oh, I know what harissa is. I know what this is." You know what I mean? Like, that's what we.
That's amazing. Like, I mean, y'all, like you said, y'all are definitely not only is it obviously directly affecting the community, but also just teaching people with, like you said, something that's familiar, that's not like super off-putting, where it's like, "I'm not gonna eat that. Like, I'm not gonna try that." And then I think the other amazing thing is, like, you know, you guys, I remember we had to call just to make sure it wasn't sold out. And of course, my fat ass was trying to get the cheese, the real cheese, not the vegan. And like I said, it was delicious, but I'm like, well, wait a minute, I got to just get the, like, a regular one. And it was amazing. Like, everything was sold out and there were people literally like the sold out sign was on the door and people were coming up like, damn, I just missed it. Like,
wow.
You know, like, I love that. But that's people crazy.
Coming up. Yeah. And this is just there. So I was like, damn, like, this is really some real shit. Like, the merch, even shout out to y'all, is amazing. I'm going to buy my long sleeve shirt. Like,
I'm buying my merch,
like,
too.
It looks amazing. So, I mean, I think it's great to see that, especially outside of COVID. So, I mean, when did you guys first open and how were you affected, like, literally the rest of the world by COVID?
We opened, grand opening was March 19th. However, 3 months prior to that, we were hosting pop-ups, you know, where you would place your order online and for a select amount of pizza, you know, we had for people to come in and you pick your time, which time you want to come pick it up. You just come and pick your pizza up due to COVID. And that was going well. We were still selling out at that point and we were trying out different pizzas and kind of curating our own, you know, in the personal pizza experience, how we wanted to introduce ourselves to the world. So the idea of being sold out was something that was already ingrained in the consumers prior to, because we were kind of, you know, training that and getting that in the thought process when it comes to down those pizza. Like, you got to get it because you never know.
Hey, Mark.
You know, you look up, it could be sold out.
Right. Yeah. Literally, that is the definition of get it while it's hot, because it's
and the thing about our pieces is, like, listen, we love to sell out. That's a beautiful thing. But people, like, think, like, when you go to a pizza shop, you never hear them say, like, we out of pizza. But it's a process. Yeah. We have Detroit style pizza. It's a whole process. It takes probably, for every bag of flour that I turn, I get 70 pieces. And out of those 70 pieces, it takes about 2 to 3 hours for me to make that dough, because it has the proof, meaning rise. Then we press it out, push all the air out of the pizza, and then it has to rise again. So when you get that nice crust, that nice thick crust, that airy crust, buttery crust, like, that actually took a long time to make.
Yeah, because it definitely wasn't that. I'm so hungry. Because y'all, I'm telling y'all, it wasn't that little phony ass, you know, dough that don't taste like nothing.
That's what I'm saying. It's a reason. It's a reason why Papa John's not doing this. You know what I mean? It's a reason why Little Caesar's not doing it, because it's a long process.
Take time. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, everything that we've done, we curated all these different flavors and we put together the dough. We put the time into the dough. Like, I told you, my day was drawn. Like, since 6 o'clock this morning, I was making dough.
Making dough. Wow.
And that's essentially your timeline every day. At 6 a.m., you're making dough.
No, on Wednesday.
Okay.
Wednesday. And if I sell out by Saturday, that means if I sell out Friday, that means I'm back in there Saturday morning. Wow. I got to call my people in. Yo, we up 6 o'clock in the morning. Yo, let's get it.
Wow. Wow.
I love it.
You know what I mean? Like, we really putting the work in. And it's made specifically by us. We not ordering the dough nowhere. We not bringing it in. It's not frozen. It was made today. We got people. A lot of times I find, like, in our community, people be surprised to see a business there and they don't know how to act. So it was like they knock on the door. You can see we working hard. It's closed. We're closed. But they're like, can I get a menu? Can I get this? Sis, we closed. You know what I mean?
Like, right. Like, it's 6 in the morning. Like.
Right.
But the dough smells so good. It smells like long bread. We like, okay, come back tomorrow at 12. You know what I mean?
Wow. Thank you. My God.
I really wish Seamless would come up 95 right now.
Listen.
The way that I wish.
We might need to take a little trip this weekend. It is work. We gotta obviously place our orders
in a flight and a drive. Like, what the hell?
Well, y'all know the chef and y'all know the CEO, so y'all can
It's worth it. Yeah, exactly. I'm using that for sure.
So you're so popular. Are there any plans in the future to expand?
Yeah, for sure. One thing, you know, the pizza's good, you know, and everybody loves the pizza, but, you know, the real reason is for the mission, because what we're doing needs to be done in other underprivileged neighborhoods around the United States, because as we see that, you know, we got to get out and do stuff for ourselves, you know, and that's how it's always been. So we know that we got to do for our people. So the plan is to take this thing, you know, and replicate this in other cities, because it's a necessity. And the other thing that we also offer is the housing to people who need it, because there are apartments on top of the restaurant.
It's so awesome.
People who are in need of housing, you know, can stay there 6 months rent free for them while they get themselves, you know, back on their feet. And we also offer a fair, equitable rate. So we're paying people double what they say the living rate in Philly is to work. So, you know, you're making $15 an hour, you know, and they're like, you know, making pizza, you're making more at our restaurant than some of the top tier restaurants in the city.
Wow.
And that's a fact. I can attest to that. And to piggyback on what Muhammad just said, like, this is my demonstration. Like, during COVID, a lot of protests was happening across every city in the country. The Black community was coming together and they was out here marching in the street, protesting, you know what I mean? Like, but I can't do that. I'm a felon. So any contact with the police, I'm directly back in jail. You understand? Like, I don't have that. So this is my demonstration to be able to get on here and talk to the people and tell them, like, what we doing. Because, like, we not just going to talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, protest after protest, nobody cares. Right. Let's be honest.
Not at all.
It's all about the action.
Yeah,
exactly. So we meeting by example, and we going to change our corner of North Philly, and hopefully, you know what I mean, it pop up over east, you know what I mean, it pop up down west, down Baltimore, you know what I mean, like, we just trying to blaze the trail, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I'm really about to make me shed a little thug too.
No, me,
I know.
Me too. Look, my two was struck. Me too. I was just like, I am inspired.
No problem. Demonstrate. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, you don't see, like, re-entry programs. Like, people just always talk about it and, like, what they would want to do to, like, help people. And, like, this is legit. Like, it's beyond just the job. It's a community. It's also housing.
Yes.
It's also making sure that you're not making minimum wage, but you are making a living wage, and, like, people are, like, fighting for that alone.
Yeah.
And we want to humanize people again, because you know, inside the carceral, inside prisons, your asset, simply because, you know, they pay you pennies to work, right? So you know, all of these large corporations who participate in the prison industrial complex, you know, people inside prison are asset, but once you are out of prison, you're a liability. There's nothing for you. So, you know, the safest neighborhoods in the United States don't have the most cops. They have the most resources. So these neighborhoods that we serve in, you know, it's a shortage of resources. So we just want to come in and, you know, provide resources to these people, because the study and the data shows that if you provide resources, you know, cut recidivism by 80-90%. So you give them something to do other than what they're used to doing, then mm-hmm. you have a higher chance of staying out here. So this is what we're going to do, provide them with as many resources as possible. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they have, you know, all the tools they need to succeed.
Are there other resources even like that in Philly? Because like you said, I feel like, you know, it's definitely designed, it's designed to keep you in prison and to keep you going back.
They hide it. They don't tell you about it, because guess what? When these grants that go out and they don't get used, the money goes back to the house.
Okay.
It's happening in Baltimore, just like it's
everywhere. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the only way, like, I just was talking about this the other day, like, they make it illegal for us to network with each other. You mean to tell me from the age of 19 to the age of 27, I was in prison, and the same people that I done starved with, got paid 19 cents with, put food in the pot together, and we fed each other. I'm not allowed to communicate with them motherfuckers when I get out here?
Mm-hmm.
They the only motherfuckers that give a fuck about me.
Yeah. No, not at all. No.
Like, because it's all designed for us to go back in there.
Absolutely, yeah.
As chattel. We still chattel, basically. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All the parole officers care about is getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you get paid. That's what this whole system is about. And like, we trying to blow the top off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I mean, y'all are. I literally am so inspired, because I'm literally like, okay, how are we gonna get one in the Northeast? Because I'm like, Muhammad and Michael, I'll call y'all after. I'm so serious. Like, how, you know, like you said, in all of these other cities, because that's just like, y'all are really, like I said, doing the work.
For sure. And like, how can people, obviously, because you're based in North Philly, how can people outside of North Philly actually support you guys and help the community and the former, you know, inmates that you all are helping as well?
We also, you know, we got a little GoFundMe that we running for people to donate, you know, and those are going towards our community efforts. We're also doing a lot of sustainable gardens within North Philly to provide fresh produce for people within the neighborhood.
Yeah.
We're looking to do some community tech centers for our youth, because, you know, our youth got to get on code with, you know, what's going on in this tech world and be able to have, you know, employment when they get
STEM education. It's STEM.
Because at the end of the day, everybody's not going to go to college. We know this. So we got to be able to provide resources for them to succeed in this world, the direction that it's going. And, you know, they can purchase the merch. You know, it's, you know, it's a plethora of ways you can support, you know, this reposting on Instagram, and, you know, sharing it with somebody else and inspiring somebody else, or an employer possibly seeing it. You know, you never know whose eyes are on your social media, an employer seeing it. Like, you know what? I'm going to change some of my hiring practices. Maybe I'm going to start looking at people that have records and things like that, because they are human beings, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so it's different ways to support, not just buying pizza.
Mm-hmm. Love that. No, we'll be sure to share definitely all of that, because like you said, Dee Dee, I'm like, whoo,
fired.
The subs here, it's going to come by the end of this episode. I know.
Shut up. You would not get vegan emotional on this episode. Oh my God, I cannot. Oh, child. Well, so we don't shed a little thug tear up in this, his Nai. We're going to play a little game. Look, Muhammad, you see his screen went black. He said, I'm married.
I want
He said, I want zero parts in any of this tomfoolery.
My name is Bennett.
He said,
Bennett. Hold on. I think somebody calling me.
He said, my name is Bennett. I ain't in it. I appreciate it. I respect it. So we are going to play a little light game, fuck, marry, kill. And basically, we'll give you the choice of three women from a topic, and then you will say if you would rather who you would fuck, who you would marry, and who you would kill.
Straightforward, right?
Straightforward, yeah. We're going to do a Philly edition. And again, it's just fun. It's just fun.
It's just fun and games.
So it's going to be 90s. First of all, you know, I don't even know how. These are literally all three of my favorite artists. You know, I thought I was going to move to Philly.
Right.
Right. Y'all know I thought I was going to move to Philly.
Still supposed to move there?
Right.
Y'all messy. Why I got to be Philly people? Y'all being messy.
What? They're all...
We're just shouting y'all city out. That's it.
Yeah. Y'all know, I was moving to Philly. I was marrying Bilal. Like, that was what my life was going to be. So these people are going to be It's Erykah Badu, Jill Scott, or Lauryn Hill, not from Philly, but you know.
And Erykah from Dallas, but that's okay. We got
right. Rest of- I'm sorry, and I messed that up. This is actually 90s songstresses. I just saw Jilly from Philly, so my bad. That was my mess up.
So you got three options.
I'm marrying Jill. Real rare. We gotta marry Jilly. And I'm fucking Erykah Badu. Cause she got a whole candle that smell like, you know what I mean? She
hey, Mike, you got those outfits ready, bro? Because
yeah, that's why I said I'm only fucking her. Cause if you marry her, you're gonna be caught up changing your whole situation and all that.
Oh my God.
And Lauryn Hill, I'm sorry, you are the shit, but you made me wait for fucking 3 hours at the E Factory. You gotta go.
That's fair.
Like, she came out. We waited for her. As Talib Kweli was open for her. She came out, performed one song, went back in the dressing room for another hour.
What?
Then came back out, did like four songs, went back in the dressing room.
No.
Nigga.
She wasn't even singing her original song. So it's like, we not about to be waiting for you to just sing remixes of songs, okay?
I'm not going to lie. And I used to love her. I mean, I still do. But yeah, she might be the worst person I've ever seen live. She was there, did sound check while we were there, and then left and came back 3 hours later. Everybody was gone. And this was at a festival and it was freezing. And this is in New Orleans, actually freezing. No, it was five people there to see Lauryn Hill. Since you came on at 2 a.m., we've been waiting since your set time was 11:20 or something like
that. She gotta go.
Those are great selections. I agree with all of those. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love you. Come through.
They're gonna be in there making grits.
Right. He's gonna make the grits for her. She don't even gotta make them.
We got a pizza named after Long Walk. We got a pizza.
What's on the menu? What's on the Long Walk? What's on that?
Damn, you bringing me back because that was from the pop up phase. So the Long Walk was it was Italian marinated type chicken breast, creamy pesto. Wow. And roasted red peppers.
Is there a box that just has every flavor in it? I know that's doing a whole lot, but just like one slice.
I get busy. I get busy. You hear me? Like Jill Scott, that song Long Walk, when you hear that joint, you just, you know what I mean? That's something that you listen to when you're in the kitchen prepping, getting everything ready. So that's how she got the Long Walk, man. That creamy pesto with that chicken breast, that marinated chicken breast with the roasted peppers, that was for her.
Wow.
So Jill, if you hear us pop out, we got you.
Well, look, she gonna come. She gonna hear. She gonna come. I guess, you know, in all of this also, just like, what's the biggest lesson that you guys have learned throughout all this?
Hold on. You're not going to let Muhammad slide like that. Cause he really tried to like deviate and talk about the pizza so that we may ask him the question.
Really, yeah, so one of my big learning, what I learned.
Muhammad said, y'all ain't about to get me caught up, okay?
Listen, I'm not trying to have Muhammad sleeping in his car tonight, child.
I respect the game.
Yeah, I'm not trying to have him sleep in his car. They're really trying to have you out here tonight. He's trying to have you sleep in the shop.
Thug life.
Right.
And then you saying he got to bring a pizza just to sleep on your couch.
I'll let him, you know, I'll let it slide. I'll ride down. I get my own. But yeah, what is one of the biggest lessons that you've learned throughout all this?
Being as though this is my first time, you know, really in the restaurant industry, I've just been soaking up a lot of game and learning a lot from, you know, Kurt and Mike, just being in the kitchen and knowing how the functionality of the kitchen and knowing, like, you know, what it takes to bring, you know, we all love food and finally get to see like what it takes to get those dishes into, you know, to your plate. So, you know, just learning all that stuff has been, you know, great for me in general. And I like it. I like the pace of the kitchen. I just like, you know, the overall, you know, serving people and making a good product.
Michael?
The biggest lesson since we opened down north is that, to me, it's like, not everybody is going to see the mission how you see it. They're not going to understand it until like everything comes full circle. So it's like just staying, keeping that tunnel vision and eye on the ball. And basically that justifies everything that we do.
I love that. How often do y'all switch up the menu? Or do you have like features or like a pizza of the month or something?
That's
like
what I'm rolling out right now. Actually, I got two different, because we also have fries too. Mm-hmm. On the menu, we have four different fries we started with. And basically, the street said it. They made a whole TikTok and they said that our crab fries was better than Chickie and Pete's. I don't know whether it's the lump crab meat that got them or it's our cheese sauce, but the street said it. We ain't say it. But
people I'm love rolling lump out crab meat, though.
Love.
Exactly.
Yeah, We don't play about that. Yeah, we don't play about that at all. I do not play about my crab. Mm-mm.
That's summertime with a stoop filling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Let's eat that. Oh my God.
But tomorrow, I'm actually rolling out a specialty pizza that's not on our menu. And I'm rolling out two different fries. And basically, we just want to have a little write-up when you come in. Look, we got these add-ons. And really, I want some feedback from our customers, whether or not they should be staples put on the menu or whatever, because it's like I said, we are the people's pizza. Like, we not here to just make a profit. It's a place with a mission. So we always want to keep our customers satisfied. So if we get enough people, we sell out on this pizza, who knows? This joint might be on the menu, the next menu, next time we reprint, but we're going to keep on working it like that with different specials.
Can I be an intern?
I need a secretary, actually. I'm getting all types of emails and stuff. I'm not used to keeping track of the emails and all that.
Long as I can get free pizza, I'm totally down.
Guaranteed.
I'm extremely organized. Sign me up.
Pay me in pizza.
Yeah, pay me in pizza and crab fries. Ooh. And I will have that. I have the whole calendar organized, have your whole life organized for some crab fries.
And
be big as a damn house, probably too.
And you probably will learn how to make pizza, so you be making your own.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look. It's definitely gonna have to be that vegan, because Lord knows.
I definitely want to see how you make this dough. Like, that sounds amazing and long, tedious too. From 6 a.m. to like two hours.
That's just for one bag. Oh, one bag God. Makes me 70 pieces. You know, 70 pieces is not even a full day for us. Mm-hmm. So, like, wow. I got a nice team, though. I got a nice team of people that have been through the same struggle that I've been through. And it was counted out. But guess what? They go hard. And we went hard today. And we got this dough ready. And we ready for the weekend.
Wow. I love that. I'm like...
All right. Dream work, make the dream work.
Yeah, I really am inspired.
So inspired.
For sure.
Lord.
We have some ending show questions. We ask every guest two questions. And the first one is, what would you tell your younger self? And both of you can obviously answer.
You want to go first, Mom?
Yeah, no, I'm thinking that's a good question right there.
I would tell my younger self to stop being such a hothead. Mm. You know what I mean? Because I was always quick to meet you where you met me at, but I was more violent. So I got into a lot of stuff when I was a kid. So I would definitely tell myself to cool out, because now it's like stuff just rolls off my back like a duck in water. You know what I mean? It's like, they're not ready to be where I'm at with it. So it's like, just smile. And...
You're not going where I'm going to go with it.
Yeah. I'm out here and I enjoy my family. I love my daughter. It's like, I would really tell my younger self to just chill. Like, everybody don't, they might be just having a bad day. So, like, just learn how to get along.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's important in everything, I feel like, even in just working, like, it don't even have to be super escalated, but sometimes it's like, Like you said, like, I'm gonna let you have that. It's not even worth my peace of mind right now.
Because you could lose, you could lose yourself in a moment of passion.
Yeah,
you
right.
Lose yourself, for sure. Lose your freedom.
Yeah.
And you be up here.
One choice, exactly. Yeah.
And it ain't nothing in there that's nice. You hear me? It ain't no Henny. It ain't no girls. It ain't no kick. I mean, it is Kit Kats, but people fight over them. You hear me? But who wants to live in that like
place? That? No. Right. Yeah. Mm-mm.
For me, to be honest, I don't think I would tell my younger self anything because I feel like everything that I went through and everything that happened to me shaped me to be the person I am today. So honestly, there's nothing about me today that, you know, I feel like I would want to change because, you know, I'm not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I learned a lot throughout life and, you know, the things, the ups and downs, things that I went through and the way I was able to handle things just in life, you know, it was a lot of lessons that I learned. So for me, it's like, I don't think I would tell my younger self to do anything different because of the way it shaped me and where I'm at today.
That's love fun. That. Go home. Go amazing. Off.
Muhammad said, I ain't even giving myself a pep talk.
Right. It'll make sense. Right. All this gonna make sense.
Right, right.
Hey, it's all gonna come together, you know, now that you look.
No, for sure. And yeah, so what do you know for sure?
You said what do I know for sure?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know for sure, like, you know, life is life. And, you know, you see, you know, life is always going to be life in, like, you know, in a sense. So it's like, for me, it's like, you know, I'm for sure that things are always going to work itself out. That's one thing I'm sure about. You know, no matter what you do, things always tend to work themselves out for the better. And that's one thing I'm sure about.
That's facts.
Mm-hmm. Because life is going to life. That's for sure.
Michael.
What do I know for sure? Once again, anything that's for me is meant to be, and anything that's not isn't. So once again, I don't wet the small stuff. I'm at peace with everything that's going on in my life.
Beautiful.
Insane.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Or working on that anyway.
I'm not, yeah, right.
Dr. Finest, 2804 West Lehigh Avenue. Instagram, Down North Pizza, downnorthpizza.com. On IG, Down North Pizza. And on IG, my personal account is Cool Hand Miz.
Cool Hand Miz?
Yeah, COOLHANDMIZ. Cool Hand Miz.
Okay.
I got it. It was the mitts. I was like, mitts? Like, mitts?
Right. No. Right. Me too. I was like the gloves that, you know, because it's hot to pull them out. Like,
that's the common nickname in Philadelphia for somebody that has the M name. Huh? Or
mitts. Oh, really?
Mizike or Mizark. You know what I mean? It is how we talk.
Oh, see, we learned something new. We don't have that. Outside. Yeah. I would say we don't have that. That is something that we don't have.
Like somebody that's showing out here, they shiz.
Mm. Ah, okay.
Come on, y'all.
We just got them regular nicknames, you know, like Ray Ray, Peanut,
TT, and DD.
Right.
There you go.
Literally. Yeah.
We got them too. You hear me?
Not Peanut.
It's a peanut everywhere.
It's a peanut everywhere.
Listen,
if it ain't no peanut in your neighborhood, they ain't really a hood.
Oh my God. Yeah, peanut is the one.
That's true.
So yeah, we end every show with a quote. And the quote is, be intentional with your energy, be intentional with your time, be intentional with your habits. So obviously just intention and being intentional.
Being intentional about going to eat that pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait. Like, I was in Philly like a couple months ago. I need to go back.
I'm telling you.
Listen, 95 till you take that Lehigh Avenue exit and all you gotta do is drive. Damn, right there. Avenue,
VBA, 28th.
Pop out.
Right there.
We gotta make that happen soon.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for coming on, y'all. We really appreciate it.
Yes,
definitely. These bikes in the background is strong.
I mean,
y'all down Baltimore.
Right, exactly. Used to it. We're in New York right now. It's usually sirens, but my neighborhood is quiet. I'm like on a real residential block now, but used to it.
Yeah, I hate it, but yeah.
but we love what y'all doing and like keep it moving.
Yeah, we down north. You know my motto: a revolutionary ain't a place for a revolutionary in Hollywood. It's in the streets with the people. So that's where we at.
Word.
That's actually the quote. That's what that is the quote.
All day, every day.
Is the goals quote. So, and again, anything we can do to support and help, please let us know.
No, for sure, man.
But I'm excited. I'm like, I'm so excited for y'all. Just watch this.
It's amazing. It really is.
I do. So thanks again, y'all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Peace.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.